Blog Talk Radio.
Journey Love Experience with Janine and Ingram. This is Angel by Layla Hathaway.
Dreams come true.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. Welcome to another episode of The Love Journey, The Love Experience with Janine and Ingram. That was Layla Hathaway, Angel. I remember when the first song came out by Anita Baker, and I was used to sing that to Diamond when she was a baby. You're my angel. And now I sing it to her baby. So beautiful. Good morning, family. I am Janine and Ingram, and we're about to move into that inner space, the space where only love resides, where spirit, the God force, lives. And we're going to be very intentional this morning about our breath, reminding you that there is power in the breath, family. Power in the breath. Reminding you that there is only one power, one presence. And on this line, we recognize this great spirit that is known by many names. And we recognize it as God, the good, the omnipotent, everywhere present, knowing that that there is not a spot that all God is not. And so as we move into that place where we are one with the one, I want you to take in a deep breath this morning, breathing in through the nose, hold it to the point of vibration, hold it to the count of eight, remembering to breathe deep into the diaphragm and remembering to breathe into the heart, family. Walk on to your inner world. And in this right now moment, I want you to be still and know that I am God. And I want you to just breathe. Let's breathe, family. And slowly release. Wow. Breathe again. Breathe, family. Sometimes we forget to breathe. Be still. Know that I am God. Breathe. Oh, thank you. Release, release, release. And last time, let's breathe in and remember to breathe, family. There is power. There is power in the breath. Let's breathe. Be still and know that I am God. And release.
Let's get rid of all the money hang-ups. I tell you how I want you to do this. I want you to get relaxed. Take about three good long breaths and stretch your feet out if you can. Now, I want you to place your hands in an upward position on your lap. Just let them rest in an upward position. Somewhat slightly cupped. You see, like my cup. Runneth over.
Runneth over.
And just repeat this with me. Right here and right now.
Right here and right now.
I open my mind to all of the goodness of life.
Open my mind to all of the goodness of life.
I deserve it all.
I deserve it all.
God wants me to have all of the goodness of life.
God wants me to have all the goodness.
It is God's pleasure to give me all of the goodness of life.
It is God's good pleasure to give me all of the
all of the riches of life.
All the riches.
Health, happiness, love.
Health, happiness,
success,
and
prosperity,
love.
And money.
Success, prosperity,
I totally
and money.
Open my mind to the flow.
I totally opened my mind to the flow.
With no reservations.
With no reservations.
I opened my mind to money.
I opened my mind.
The being, to money. Doing, having power of the mind.
The being, doing, having power.
The
of
being,
the mind.
Doing, having power of God in me.
The being, doing, having power of the God.
This is
in
real
me.
Money.
You know, this is real.
This is the money that becomes every form of money.
This is the money that becomes every form.
That I need and want.
That I need, want.
And now we're going to go into a visualization for a moment, so I just want you to close your two outer eyes. Tilt your chin slightly upward. And look through the third eye, the eye of God in you. And repeat this visualization prayer treatment with me. I now enter into the theater of my mind.
I now enter into the theater of my mind.
And I see myself.
And I see myself.
I see myself as I wish to be.
I see myself as I wish to be.
I see myself as a healthy person.
I see myself as a healthy person.
I see myself as a happy person.
Ooh, and I see myself,
I
as,
see
a
myself as a loving person.
And I see myself as a
loving I see myself as a beloved person.
I see myself as a beloved person.
I see myself as a successful, prosperous person.
I see myself as a successful, prosperous
I
person.
I see and feel myself as a person who has a lot of money.
And I see myself as a, and feel myself as a person who has lots of money.
I see that I have all of the money that I need for every good cause.
I see that I have all the money I need for every good cause.
I see myself with stocks and bonds.
I see myself with stocks.
Certificates
bonds.
Of deposit.
Certificates of
a
deposit.
A big investment portfolio.
A very, very big investment.
I see myself having money, making money.
I see myself having money,
money
making,
making
money,
money.
Money making money. Money making
money.
Money
making money.
Money making money. Money making
it feels
money.
Wonderful.
Feels
it feels good.
Feels
I see
good.
And feel myself enjoying the goodness of money.
I see and feel myself enjoying the goodness
Thank you,
of
God,
money.
In me.
Thank you, God.
For money and
for
all of the
money.
Goodness of life.
And all the goodness of life.
Now open your eyes slowly. Come back. And in closing, I say health, happiness, love, success, and prosperity, and a whole lot of money go with you. Amen.
Amen. Good morning, family. Oh, yes. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. I just feel like a little song after that. We're going to play Rain on Us by Joshua Rogers. You tuned into the Love and Shining, your love experience. Yes, let's get praised up this morning.
Let your glory fill this place. Let your all-consuming fire fill this tabernacle. Purify our hearts. We need you to surround us in this place. Bring within us, send a refreshing, Lord, saturate our hearts, send rain, oh, breathe, oh, shower down, anybody needing a shower.
Your spirit, Lord.
Yeah, all right.
Rain,
within me. Yeah, shower down, shower down. Send your anointing, Jesus. I need somebody to say,
right.
Good morning, God. Good morning, Holy Spirit. Good morning to the sun, the moon, the stars, the clouds, the sky. Good morning, Father Sky. Good morning to the birds, the bees, the flowers, the trees, Mother Nature, Mother Earth. Good morning to the earth, wind, fire, water, ether. Good morning to the land, the soil, the plant kingdom, and all of the universe. Good morning to our most beneficent angelic family. Good morning, angels. Good morning, archangels. Good morning to our ascended masters, master guides, and spirit guides, as we invite and invoke the unseen presence into this call right now. And as we stop each Monday through Friday to pay homage to those who have walked this planet before us, who left a legacy called us, this morning we say good morning, ancestors. Let's invite and invoke our ancestors by calling forth their names, remembering their spirits. Good morning, Miss Anastasia McAdoo, Miss Colette Grant, and all the unknown ancestors, and all of those beautiful spirits before us. And as we send love into our descendants, those who made it to the planet and those who will be coming afterwards, we just say, thank you, God, as we create a path of ease, elegance, and grace, because what we do will be a game changer. Let's stop today and just honor the divine presence called you. Let's just give the Creator honor and gratitude for making such a beautiful gift and calling it your name, Janine Ann Ingram. Thank you for allowing me to be on the planet for such a time as this, to share my gifts and my talents. God. Good morning, family. Good morning, my brothers and sisters, my kings and queens, my gods and goddesses, my millionaires and billionaires, and all my authors and entrepreneurs and filmmakers and all those talented, wonderful people that are on this line this morning. I say I honor you this morning. Good morning, good morning, good morning. What a great morning. What a great rising. What a great sun that is coming up. So beautiful. I'm still in North Carolina, and it is just an amazing, beautiful sunrise in here. I'm not sure what it looks like in other places, but it is beautiful here. Good morning to the sun. All right, family, we're going to get ready and get started today. I just wanted to start off by us listening to Deny from Black Panthers, but I just wanted to honor those who have been walking this journey on this money challenge. It has been so eye-opening, so elevating to walk the journey and develop a closer relationship with money and to hear your testimonies and hear as you call me, text me, or email me to let me know how this money challenge has been in your life and so many other communities that are coming in to join us on this money love challenge. I just want to say thank you, thank you, thank you, family. Because there's nothing that just fills my soul by us manifesting. And I often think about Oprah Winfrey when she was asked a question one time. She was asked about money. She said she once was poor and now she's rich. She said the only difference that she loved about it is that money is never a consideration whether she can or cannot do something. Can you imagine your life being like that? That money will never be the consideration or why you turn down an offer or can or cannot do anything. I'll call you and say, let's go to Dubai and ride the elephant. So looking forward to that. You won't have to say, well, let me check my bank account. You say yes or no if you want to go. That's just it. I love it. All right, family, I want us to horn in on this beautiful Essence of War conversation she spoke about. And I love what she talked about when she talked about the sisterhood. And when you think about unity among us, there's nothing like a sister, I tell you.
I come from a grandmother who didn't let us leave her house without a song. She was so good at it. So I'm just going to do this and try to follow in her footsteps right now. It happened for the first time when I was 9 in Zimbabwe, where I was raised. And I'd been asked to participate in a fashion show for some Americans who had come into town. We were to wear African print and exhibit our attire at an event. My mother used some fabric that had been sitting in our house for as long as I can remember and had it made into a dress that fit my sinewy 9-year-old frame. After a few rehearsal days amidst women and girls of many ages, the day arrived. The Americans had landed. We did our show and walked about on a stage in the middle of the botanical gardens in Harare. And afterwards, we lingered about, none of us sure how to interact with the Americans for whom we had just displayed our African wares. When it happened, I remember being surprised by it. I never thought about it. But when I did receive that compliment, a stunning brown-skinned woman took my face in her hands, her long, flowing braids cascading down her back. I realized it was something I would always cherish. She looked at me, observing me with deep appreciation. I stood still, trying to behave and not embarrass my mother or my nation. She held my face, looked me deep in the eye, and she told me that I was beautiful. She said it with such feeling it filtered straight into my soul and left an indelible imprint. This majestic woman with long flowing braids had told me that I was beautiful. So now I had to consider the idea that it might just be true. The majestic woman was Susan L. Taylor. The longtime editor-in-chief of Essence Magazine, this here glorious publication. This is where I learned it, that black girls are beautiful. Sisters are beautiful. And the most edifying source to hear that from is another sister. This publication does so much for the soul of a sister. Every month I'm guaranteed, be it in the airport or walking down 14th Street in Manhattan or in a Barnes & Noble in Atlanta, I am guaranteed that one of the publications on the stand will not fail me. It will have a sister on the cover celebrating her beauty, her black girl magic, and by so doing, it will remind me that I am beautiful and designed to be loved and appreciated, because Essence celebrates us. And I've been unpacking that lately. I've been unpacking it. Just how powerful being a sister is. See, what it means is we figured out the okie doke. We've called their bluff. We found the source of our power. The world and its various oppressions against those like us wanted to tell us that we as women, we don't do well together. That we are competitive or we have catfights and petty disagreements and can't get things done when we try. It tells us to compete, that there's never enough, that we are easily replaceable, that we must consider each other's presence a threat. But we know that not to be true. A sister, a real sister, well, we know better. She knows that her most profound strength, her power, her magic is often actualized, nourished, and recognized by none other than another sister. She knows she can share her darkest fears and express her deepest problems and be supported, renewed, revived by none other than a sister. She knows she can move mountains, change tides, break through ceilings when she is shoulder to shoulder with another sister. She also knows that no one, not one other human being, can check her and set her straight. Be the iron that sharpens her iron. No one does that better than another sister. Sisters are the vibranium to the others' Wakanda. Okay? Sisters get each other through to their greatness, carry each of them on their backs, and bring each other to a place anew. I wouldn't be standing here if it weren't for my sisters. And in my culture, the deeply traditional Shona people, there's a saying that to not thank is witchcraft. So I have got to thank those sisters who keep me whole. And I have to thank those sisters who are in the room right now. Sonequa Martin-Green, God, I'm going to cry. Edwina Finley. Susan Kelechi Watson, Catherine Kimmel, this luminous light right here shining brighter than that one, Lupita Nyong'o, thank you. You are the women that I have been able to be vulnerable with, to seek counsel from, to break all the way down with, to pray with, to be prayed for, to share frustrations, pains, fears, joys, and praise reports. You have spoken words into my life that have transformed me, cleansed me, guided me, anointed me, reminded me of who I am, helped me edge towards my destiny. Thank you for your sister girl magic. Thank you. How would I have ever known that day 31 years ago that one day I'd be honored by the very same magazine the stunning woman with long braids was in charge of? How would she? But the time she took to look a little African girl in the eye and dispel the lie and implant the truth, that time resulted in something that grew inside of me that kept me aware that no matter what the world threw at me, I was beautiful. Take that little girl's face in your hands. Look her deep in the eye with appreciation and tell her that she's beautiful. Tell her of her greatness. She needs you too. Her 40-year-old self will thank you for it. As I do Essence today. Now, we've heard the lies, but here's the truth. The harvest is upon us. The time is now. We lack nothing. Our success is greater than our failures. We are here, and we are ready to determine our own destinies. We must reap the seeds that were planted by our foremothers. From Johannesburg to London to Oakland to Los Angeles, workers are needed to till the soil of our greatness that rests in the bosom of our youth. Gather and distribute the fruit of our legacy. The youth need to see their greatness reflected in our eyes. Go forth. Let them know we're real. Invest in them with time, with resources. And as Okoye would command her army of women as they stepped into battle to preserve the sovereignty of their people to do, so I mandate all of us to do today. Forward. Bambiri!
I just love Best Beats. She said, the harvest is now. The harvest is now. What are we going to do? We've planted the seeds. We toiled the soil. And the harvest is now. What are you going to do with the gifts you've been given? How are you going to express your magic? Your black man magic, your black girl magic, and any other race of people that may be online. How are you going to express that inner magician, that magic that makes you you? And that's what I want us to think about today. As we walk this journey today, as we decide on who and what we are, knowing exactly where and what we are and where we come from and who we are, how will we express our magic? I love it. The harvest is now. This is the best time on the planet. This is the most phenomenal time to be a woman on the planet. And more importantly, a black woman. You are the commodity, sister. You are the commodity. How will you allow your dividends to be shared and expressed? What will be your return on your investment? You are the magic. And I simply want you to think about that today. There's nothing better, nothing greater than who you are in this right now moment. You don't need to be anything else. You don't need to change anything. You already are enough. Really, you're more than enough. And I want you to remember that, just the way you are. In a time where cosmetic surgery is a $1 billion industry because people is fed off of people not feeling enough. Not that I have anything against cosmetic surgery. Don't call. I don't care about what you do to enhance yourself, but I'm just saying, industry that builds off of people who feel not enough. And I want you to know right now, I'm not saying that everybody who gets cosmetic surgery don't feel enough. That's not what I'm saying. It's an industry that makes a lot of money off the majority of people who don't feel enough. And I want you today to feel more than enough. I want you to look in the mirror into the soul essence of yourself as if you was that little girl that Susan B. Taylor was holding in her hand and saying, you are beautiful just the way you are. You are enough just the way you are. And I think about a little girl growing up, and Essence was one of my favorite magazines. And the first place I would do was open up to In the Spirit. Can I tell you how many times I read Essence magazine and turned to the page In the Spirit only to read the words, and the words would lift off the page into this visual, mental movie and how her words touched and etched every part of my body, and my cells were moving. I would literally sometimes cry and I would laugh, and it was as if I was watching a movie and feeling everything that was happening through the words of In the Spirit. And I remember when In the Spirit ended in that segment of the magazine, and they started giving other people opportunities, like, it never was the same to me. I think that was the one thing that should have continued and never changed, and maybe changed in a way to have different writers. I don't know, but In the Spirit was so powerful. And that was one of my favorite things to read growing up. And I learned so much from Essence Magazine, because In the Spirit talked about a lot about self-love. Isn't it interesting? Susan B. Taylor talked about self-love. And I remember one day when she wrote an article in the Spirit. She was in a lot of pain. And she was sitting in church. She had walked down the street in Brooklyn, crying her eyes out. And she walked past the church and found her way in the church. And it was interesting because the speaker began to speak about why it is so important to love oneself. And not the love that we understand, but love from the soul essence. Love where you can begin to appreciate and honor all of you, and be an acceptance of all of you, and be authentic and vulnerable all at the same time in your strength. And I remember reading that article, imagine me walking down the street, walking into the church, hearing that sermon. And at the time, I really didn't even understand what love was. But I remember In the Spirit, and I remember her asking the very same question that when my turn came, how to love myself. How can I learn to love me? How can I learn to love the part of me that society said wasn't beautiful? How can I learn to love me and accept me when I didn't feel accepted in any space? Feel uncomfortable in my skin. Because when we're little, growing up, and I'm assuming that most of us feel that way when we're adults too, it's wanting to be accepted. Accept it for who you are. And it was that journey from Essence to Ayana Venzat, the value in the valley. I never, that is the book that began to change my life. In the Spirit was the seed and was the catalyst for Ayana, value in the valley. And I never forget being at work. And we had sales meeting every Saturday, and a girl named Portia. And I would go to the bookstore after the sales meeting. Mostly every Saturday, we'd go to Johnny Coleman's bookstore on 119. And she always bought books about the angels, and Celestine prophecies. And her dad had passed away, so she was really interested in wanting to speak to the other side. And she bought Ayana Venzat's book, The Value in the Valley. And she also bought a book by Jack Canfield, Ask and You Shall Be Given. And I bought the same books every time we went to the bookstore. My books was on how to be a number one salesperson, how to make money, 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 money. So she had a book I wanted to read after we came from the bookstore. I had five, she bought five. And I asked her, could I read that book? And she said, strange enough, She wanted me to read Ayanna Benzat's book, and at the time, I didn't even know who Ayanna Benzat was. I couldn't even tell you how to pronounce her name at the time. But the interesting thing it said in the book, on top of the book, on the cover of the book, it said, "The Value in the Valley, A Black Woman's Guide Through Drama." I said, "Girl, you know I don't do drama. You know I don't do no drama. Why you want me to read? I don't even want to read about drama." One thing about me, I've always been kind of a laid-back person. I don't do drama. I don't get involved in a lot. I don't get into all that. I just don't like it. I've never liked it. Even in, you know, my relationship with Brent, I told my husband when we got together, look, I believe a home should be about peace and my environment. My peace is important to me. So if we get into some situation where we got to go back and forth, I think we need to say what we're going to say, and then that's it for me. I don't like it. I really don't even like to go there, even though sometimes you have to go there. So I was telling her, I don't want to be nothing about no drama. You know, I don't even do drama. She was like, no. And she forced me to read the book. And I couldn't understand. Why do you want me to read this book? I don't want to read that book. And we went back and forth. And I got upset. And I said to myself, I'm going to take this book home and act like I read it and bring it back. Okay. So the nerd in me opens up the book and begins to read it. And, oh, my God, it changed my life. I knew then that it wasn't her speaking. I knew that book was sent. And God knew that I would not have bought it. I would not have went to the store and bought that book. It would never have caught my attention. The Holy Spirit knew that I wanted to read the other book so bad that I was going to take this book home, and the Holy Spirit knew I was going to open it up. And I tell you, I saw myself in that book. I saw myself on the roller coaster ride. I saw myself in those valleys. I saw myself trying to figure out why I keep finding myself in the same situation over and over and over again. Now, it was a really hard lesson for me to really grasp that I was responsible for how I allowed someone to come in my life and be in my space. It was a really hard concept to recognize that somebody who I felt wasn't doing what I thought they should be doing in the space that I thought they should be doing it in was a reflection of my own thoughts, my own insecurities, I didn't get it. It was very difficult. But I started the journey. I said, well, if this is the answer to how I need to change, and this is the answer, and I'm responsible, then I need to figure out why I'm responsible and why I keep attracting this and why I am finding myself in the same situation year in, year out. I need to figure that out. What is in my vibration that's attracting this relationship? What is it in my vibration that's attracting this relationship to money? What's keeping me from being and expressing the truth, walking embodiment of the presence of God is me on the planet? Now, of course, it wasn't that articulate then, but now it's, that's the kind of questions I was asking myself, but just not in those questions. And that was the beginning of my real journey inside. Stop blaming somebody from the outside. Oh, well, this didn't happen because Britney didn't do blah, blah, blah. Or my mama didn't blah, blah, blah. If I had a mother and a father, it was always an excuse why I could have been this thing or whatever. But I had to realize that I was responsible and had to become accountable. And so today, sisters and my brothers, on this line, I want to remind you with every ounce and every fiber in my being that you are already more than enough. Everything you need, want, and desire to become all that you ever thought you wanted to be and more. And it is a harvest time. It's harvest time, Father. You've planted the seeds. You've done the work. Now, it's time to receive. And some of us don't know how to receive. Some of us don't even know how to be in harvest time. Yeah, we know how to put the seeds in. We know how to do the work. We don't know how to receive. Because so many of us are still vibrating, I'm not enough. So many of us are still vibrating, I'm unworthy. Unworthy. Today, look yourself eye to eye. Come face to face with your magnificence and understand that you were born worthy. You were born more than enough. And if you don't believe me, ask me whatever text you want to tell me that you are a part of, and I'll show you that your Creator, no matter what name you call it by, has written why you are already more than enough. And the Bible tells us that in Jeremiah, what it says, even before I placed you in the womb of your mother's belly, I had plans of success. Come on now. That's a promise that I often wake up to. Holy Spirit, Most High God, you said, even before you placed me in the womb of my mother's belly, you said, I knew you. I had plans for this, Father, Mother, God of this great universe. I'm calling for the forces of everything that is around me to bring forth that promise. And if you don't believe that promise, God said in Genesis, let us make man in our own image. Now, this is the one that really gets me. Because so many times we hear people talk about, God, I am made in the image and likeness of God. I have even heard preachers preach from there and then go and pray a prayer like, I know I'm not worthy because I'm made from the worm of the earth or something. I can understand. If I'm made in the image and likeness of the Creator of the Most High God, how can I go and pray a prayer that I'm not worthy? How could the very essence of whatever created me, however we call it, said God looked at me. God looked at you and said, good and very good. And how could I see anything other? How can I see anything other than good and very good? Take the limits off of God. Stop limiting the view of God, and then you'll stop limiting the view of yourself. Because if you're made in the image and likeness of such a powerful, magnetic, harmonizing force in this universe, then you have not even touched the surface of your own greatness. I mean, not even the surface. So instead, it's so easy for us to bond and speak to each other about our negativities. Girl, yeah. Ooh, can you see? Ooh. I can't think of nothing right now. You know, it's hard for me to get there. But just how beautiful it would be if I reminded all of my sisters when I talked to them or seeing them just how magnificent they were. But more importantly, how important it would be to remind yourself just how magnificent, just how beautiful, just how great you are. And maybe, just maybe, I will own it. Actually own my greatness. I will actually operate in the knowing that I am the greatest version of God and the physical embodiment on the planet. Just maybe I could own that if I begin to see my own greatness. Do you know how much conversation we have with ourselves that's always in doubt? Always in doubt. I just can't even tell you when I began to recognize my own doubt in conversation. And it was here on the love journey. I would have thought I was the greatest, most positive person on the planet. You couldn't tell me I wasn't. And actually I was to other people, but not to myself. And let me tell you, I wouldn't even look in the mirror other than whatever I did to the, in the morning. After that, I wasn't looking in no mirror. Why? Because I was not liking the image that I saw in the mirror. So I didn't look no more. As I got up, brushed my teeth, but now I realize I wasn't even really looking in the mirror when I was brushing my teeth, getting ready for whatever work or what school or whatever I was doing, because I was so busy looking, you know, just at, but not really. I was looking through myself, not into myself, not at myself, just enough to do whatever I had to do. And now I stare into the essence of my own soul. And if I look in the mirror or if I pass the mirror and default not to look, I stop and look. No matter how I feel that day, I stop and remind myself I am the greatest version of the gift that God put on the planet, of God itself, of Goddess itself. I am the greatest gift. You are the greatest gift. There's nothing ever was created that was greater than the gift called you on this planet. Nothing. And no matter how we look at the beautiful flowers, the amazing trees, the beautiful sunrises, the phenomenal moonlit nights, there's nothing more beautiful, nothing more amazing, nothing God felt as a prideful art as you. Because when God blew all of this stuff inside of you, God animated the physical presence of you. And so this physical clothes can be shifted just by our vibration. So today, let your vibration reflect the gift. This is harvest time. It's time to receive. So it's time for you to stake your claim and know you are more than enough. You are more than worthy, and that you deserve all the greatness in the world. And so I hope that the love journey will remind you that there's nothing greater than you. You are the greatest gift. You are God's gift to this planet. And you are a beautiful aspect of the Creator. And the aspect of you that she wants, that the Creator wants, she wants you to spread to the world and share your gifts to, and your talents in whatever way that looks. It's different for everybody. But as your sister in prosperity and love and joy, I want nothing but the best for you. My prayer each and every morning before I get on the line that somebody will be blessed by the words. Somebody will be reminded today that they are all that God is. Somebody will be reminded today that they are more than worthy. They are more than enough. And will they say yes to their gifts? Will they say yes to the present that they are to the planet? Will they say yes and walk in the courage to know and the strength and accept that I, God, God, will you really accept that title and honor it, knowing that you are God? That's my message for us today. It's harvest time. We are going to invite Khadija Ali in to give us the next assignment for this 21-day challenge. Good morning, Khadija.
Good morning, Freddie Love.
Good morning.
Happy Monday.
Happy Monday,
family.
Great ride.
laughing because I was in the middle of, like, eating, and then I heard you say Tanisha, and I'm like, oh, my God, let me together. But welcome, family. Thank you so much, Janine. As always, you always bring the right message at the right time. And I just appreciate you so much. And this morning is day 6 of the Money Love Challenge. Family, if you've been following us, we started the Money Love Challenge last week. We are on day 6 today. Day 5 was your money wise. Why do you want the money and what would you do with it? So if you are following along, we are on day 6. And day 6 is one of my favorite ones. I love this one. Some people may not, but I happen to love it. But it's making room for more. So today we are cleaning out. We are cleaning and we're clearing out clutter. So you're going to clean out your wallet or your handbag. You're going to open it up, start pulling stuff out. So I'm excited to do that. And as you're cleaning it out, you may find unused gift cards, credits to stores that you haven't used. What else could you have? You could have, gift cards, unused credit. Take those items and you're going to put them to the side because they're going to be used on day 8. So clean out your purse, clean out your wallet, and as you're cleaning, when you find unused gift cards, when you go to the store and you get the rain checks, you know, if you have rain checks, if you have a credit to a store that you haven't used, put it to the side, family, because we're going to do another amazing exercise with those things on day 8. Nature abhors a vacuum. So make room for abundance. Make room for more money to come in. If your pocketbook, your handbag, whatever you have, is junky and full of receipts like mine is. Looking at mine right now, it's full of receipts and all kinds of foolishness that I need to get out of here. So I am so looking forward to doing this today, family. And I hope you are too. Have fun with this Money Love Challenge. Let's be in the spirit of having fun and discovering, you know, what it is, how we feel about money. So I'm excited to do this. And with that, I'm complete. Day 6, clean out your wallet. Clean out your handbag.
Clean it out. Can you just go back over 1 through 5 real quick? You don't have to, you know, it's been
done. Oh, yeah. I was thinking I should do that. So, yeah. So if you have been, or if you haven't been following the Money Love Challenge, of course, day 1 was set your intention for the challenge and to write it in your journal. And the intention that we all set together collectively was that today I am making a decision to change. I draw a line in the sand and choose to act in conscious, loving ways when it comes to my finances. I am choosing this because it is an act of love toward myself. And when I am more loving toward myself, I'm able to add more value to the world. Let the money love begin. That was the intention that we collectively set on day 1. If you didn't get that and I was going too fast, you can find it on the Love Journey Facebook fan page. So go to the fan page. It is posted there. And then day 2 was to share your first money memories. So that first memory that comes to your mind when you think about, you want to take your journal out and write it down. Write down what that memory was. For me, it was age 7. I had all this running and things happened. And then day 3 was write down everything you're releasing from your financial past that no longer serves you. That actually, not in your journal, but on a sheet of paper, and take that paper and put it in a safe container and burn that financial past. Release it. So that was day 3. And then day 4 was set 4 goals. Set your earning goal, your savings goal, your investing goal, and your giving goal. Those 4 quadrants. What do you want to earn? How much do you feel you need to save? What are you investing in? How much are you investing? And how much are you giving? Are you doing 10%? Are you doing more? Are you doing 1%? Find out where you are and where you want to be. And then day 5 was your money why. Why did you want or do you want the money? And what would you do with it? If you had $1 million tomorrow, what would you do with it? What is your money why? And then today, of course, is day 6, making room for more, clearing the way for abundance to have a pathway in. As we're listening to Reverend Ike every morning, we have to also clear our minds and clear our physical space of clutter. So that's day 1 through 6. And with that, I'm complete, Janine. Thank you so much.
All right. Thank you, Khadija. I want to thank each and every one of you for tuning in to the Love Journey, your love experience. And more importantly, I thank you for walking this journey of this Money Love Challenge. What's really important is that I want us to recognize that we are in harvest time. This is the time for harvest. This is the time for us to open up and receive. And so I want you to get your receiving energy on. I want you to be a great receiver. A lot of us are phenomenal givers and not great receivers. So in this harvest time, how can you be a better receiver? Even if it's simply a receiver of compliments, how can you be a great receiver? I want you to think about that. In order to open up and enjoy the beauty, the amazing life that we can live, we must first learn how to receive. I was reading an article in a magazine the other day. It was a yoga magazine. And they said the hardest thing for women to do, guess what? Receive. Now, what are you doing walking around here planting these seeds, nourishing, and doing all these great things, and then you can't get the return on your investment because you block your receiving energy? So I want you to work and decide on how would you be a better receiver. I am a great giver and a phenomenal receiver. I am a great giver and a phenomenal receiver. When someone offers to pay or someone offers to give you something, receive it. And let me tell you, don't offer to do something for somebody and you really don't want to do it. Don't offer to be, oh, well, you know what, let me pay, thinking that you're going to get them to pay, or whatever reasons why we do the things we do. Be authentic. And I want you to be a great giver. All right, family. We're going to get ready and release the Love Journey line this morning. Thanking you for this opportunity to be here with me. Thank you for Khadija Ali leading us on this challenge to be a great receiver, to be in a great relationship with our money, and to establish that it's time for us to reap our harvest. We planted our seeds back. Let's reap our harvest.
All right, let's manifest. All right, family, I love you. Thank you for tuning in to the Love Journey, Your Love Experience with Janine and Ingram. And this is Erica Badu and Roy Ez. My life, my life, my life in the sunshine. As I remind you that your life is a gift from God. And what you do with your life is a gift back to God. Remember to choose love. Love is a choice. And remember, family, don't just dream. Live your God-sized dream. It's time to harvest. It's harvest time, family.
And the brother told me he was going to go to the sun. I said, brother, if you go to the sun, you're going to burn up. He said, no, when I go to the sun, I'm going to go at night. I said, yeah, right. The brother's tripping.
Your body.